Welcome to the NFC edition of Week 7 for the Student of the Game. I'm Kyle, the Student of the Game, and to my right I have Weasel and Chris with me here to talk about the very confusing, the very unclear-cut NFC. Now, the Giants this week will be playing in Monday Night Action, so we won't hear from them in the podcast, but we're going to probably do a little pretty quick pop quiz at some point in the show. I know, you guys haven't studied. You don't get to study for a pop quiz. I know this is a shock. But enough about pop quiz. Let's start with what we've prepared. Well, at least somebody was prepared in a particular game, and I'm referring to the Browns facing off against the Saints. Chris, what do you have?
For the third straight year, the Cleveland Browns beat the ex-Super Bowl champions. Browns came victorious 30-17 over New Orleans Saints. Colt McCoy was 9 of 16, 56% for 74 yards. Running back Peyton Hillis was 1 for 1 for 13 yards. More on that later. And Drew Brees is 37 of 56, 66%, 356 yards, 2 touchdowns, and unlike him, 4 interceptions. On the ground, Peyton Hillis, 16 carries for 69 yards.
All right. Yards. I thought you were going to take that one, my bad.
For 4.3 average and a touchdown, he did have a long of 12, so that'd be 3.8. Does anyone know who Reggie Hodges is?
Is he the punter?
He's the punter. He had one carry for 68 yards. He just ran right up the middle for 68 yards. He looked like he was scared, getting ready to get beat.
So, but if we take the 68 plus his one attempt, it's 69. All right. Look, when I'm pulling up the research, you got to help me out someday.
Okay, my bad.
Keep going.
Well, no, you came in. Just, yeah. You know, nobody saw the part where, you know, you elbowed me and I, you know, about jumped out of my chair because I didn't know what happened.
Yeah, we're on the radio. No one can see that. on the ground for the Saints, Chris Ivory, 15 carries, 48 yards, 3.2. And newly acquired Julius Jones, 1 for 6. Through the air for the Browns, Brian Rubisky had 3 catches for 25 yards. Ben Watson, 1 for 18. Chauncey Stuckey, 2 for 16, and quarterback Colt McCoy had the one catch for 13 yards.
Right.
That was the Peyton Hillis completion. For the Saints, Marquise Colston led all receivers 10 catches, 112 yards, and a touchdown. Liddell Betts, 8 for 48. Lance Moore, 5 for 43. Tight end Jimmy Graham, 4 for 38. David Thomas, 3 for 33. Meacham Cocky, Jeremy Shockey, and Danbury Henderson had each 2 catches. So, what really hurt the Saints, I mean, you look at the time of possession. Saints had 35 minutes of possession opposed to 24 for the Browns. Turnovers is what hurt. Sacks, gave up 3 sacks. Saints, they only got 1. Yards, 394 for the Saints, 210 for the Browns.
And that's how you lose a game when you get over 100 yards in offense more and you get 11 minutes more time of possession.
Almost 200 yards.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
184 yards over. But, I mean, key points. Scott Fujita, who used to be with the Saints, had an interception on the 3-yard line in the second quarter. So that could have been points. He was looking at the personnel coming in on the field from the Saints, and he'd call over to his bench so he didn't change personnel. He was with them for the last few years.
Inside information.
Yeah. Sheldon Brown had an interception on his own 28 just before the half. New Orleans was on their own 19 when they threw the ball. So they're trying to go deep to Robert Meacham on that one. Mm. But then 33-year-old David Bowens had 2 INTs for touchdowns. He's only scored once in his 11-year career. And he scored twice today, 1 for 30 yards with 1:49 in the second that was left. And then also a 64-yard interception return with 3:33 left in the game. And he tried to do the Reggie Bush impersonation of tumbling into the end zone. It looked like he just did a little somersault. And he goes, yeah, I'm old and white, so I can't jump like that.
And fat.
Right.
That's Drew Brees on the Madden cover. I'm just saying.
Interesting. Well, I mean, he's not injured and the team's not dead yet.
Well, he's sucking.
But, well, not to speak of. I mean, there's some games where you could say ass.
Okay.
I mean, say ass into the microphone,
he's sucking
Lisa.
Sucking ass.
There you go. Okay.
I mean, no. The four interceptions, yeah, one of them was on a deep pass, you know, trying to get the field goal range before. I mean, there was less than a minute left. I mean, the Browns just took a knee once they got the ball on their 28 to end the time. So, I mean, that one is down there. The one that really hurt was the 64-yarder right before the or at the end of the game in the Scott Fujita on the own three.
Yeah, the last running back to accomplish what Peyton Hillis did in this game was Ronnie Brown, where I asked the Dolphin fans of the world, what can Brown do for you? For what few Cleveland fans may still be listening to the show, what can that Brown, Peyton Hillis, do for you? The answer is the same for both questions, everything. And speaking of everything, everything could have probably gone wrong in this game where the Rams faced off against the Bucks, two teams that were expecting to do bad. Actually, very interesting matchup as the Bucks squeak by the Rams 18-17. Rookie Sam Bradford, the number one draft pick, went 13 for 26 at 50%. Two touchdowns, did lose a fumble. Josh Freeman, 23 for 40, 58%. 56%, 212 yards, had a touchdown and an interception. Steven Jackson, always a solid performer, recently broke a franchise record in yards for the Rams in this game, going 22 carries for 110 yards, 5 yards a carry. Passing little somebody may have heard of, Eric Dickerson, as the top yard gainer for the Rams franchise. Kind of a big deal. Gone pretty quiet because the Rams have been so bad during his 7 years in the NFL. And I hope he can last at least one more year now, when he has Bradford and anything like that. Just so somebody other than Seahawks can do well in this division. Yes, I understand I'm a 49ers fan, but I just don't care for the Seahawks at all, to be perfectly honest with you. On the ground, LeGarrette Blount, everybody's favorite angry running back, 11 carries for 72 yards, referencing, of course, his time in Oregon and in Tennessee, where both places he started fights. Josh Freeman on the ground had 5 carries of his own for 40 yards, 8 yards a carry. And in the air, Steven Jackson also leading his team in yards with 2 catches for 35 yards. Ken Darby had a catch for 19 yards. Danny Amendola had 2 catches for 29 yards with a touchdown. And tight end Mike Lumanawani, 2 catches for 12 yards and a touchdown. Where's my trophy for pronouncing that name? I'm just saying. You guys can't see it. H-O-O-M-A-N-A-W-A-N-U-I. Yes, thank you, Weasel. I appreciate it. Weasel just handed me the hypothetical trophy. Which is to say, I couldn't do that in the air for the Bucks. Mike Williams, 5 catches, 82 yards. Kellen Winslow, 5 catches for 44 yards. Steve Strong, 3 catches for 38 yards. But the big catch, one of his 8, Cadillac Williams, 8 for 34, including a touchdown caught with 10 seconds left in the game to decide the match.
That's a big deal.
Kind of a big deal, that, yes. The biggest stat I saw, time of possession about even, turnovers are about even, third down conversion. The Rams were 7 for 14, had 50%. The Bucks had 5 for 15, they were 33%, so they were behind in the third down percentage, which is probably why they had to squeak it through at the end, like you saw there. So a bit of a statistical anomaly, but these the other stat that I think I should mention is Rams scoring in the second half, absolutely zero. So very close game. Take nothing away from either of these quarterbacks. Both are doing way better than I would have forecasted, and it's just that simple. However, we go over to a game where quarterbacks did a lot worse than forecasted. Skins facing off against the Bears. Chris, go.
In a 9 turnover game where 2 INTs were taken to the house, the Bears, who everyone thought was so great at the beginning of the season.
Well, I don't know about everybody.
They are who we thought they were.
Yep.
Bam! Relevance!
Fell 14-17 to Washington Redskins. The Redskins are 4-3, and the Bears have lost last 3 to 4-3. For the Redskins, Donovan McNabb was 17 of 32, 53%, 200 yards, 1 touchdown, and 2 INTs, one of them was returned for a touchdown. Jay Cutler was 26 of 40, 65%, 281 yards, 1 touchdown, 4 INTs, and a lost fumble.
That's bad.
For the Skins on the ground, Ryan Terrain, 21 carries, 125 yards, 5.9 average. He also had one fumble. He did have a long of 27, so that would drop it down to 4.9. For the Bears, Matt Forte, 10 for 41, 4.1. Chester Taylor, 3 for 20, 6.7. Dale Arden, 12, so it still averaged about 4. Through the air for the Skins, Santana Moss, 5 catches, 63 yards, 1 touchdown. Chris Cooley, 7 for 52. Rookie wide receiver from West Texas A&M, Anthony Armstrong. Never heard that name before.
That's why I was like, guy?
He's starting instead of Galloway. 2 catches, 42 yards. Tight end Fred Davis, 2 for 28. And for the Bears, D'Angelo Hall had 4 catches for 92 yards and a touchdown. I thought he played for the Redskins. I didn't know he was a receiver.
Apparently we need to communicate with Cutler about that.
Yeah, that's what his Cutler's saying.
I like that.
That was awesome. Yeah, it's a shame that this didn't occur during all the next week games, because we can make all these jokes about, nightmares and evil things coming down the hall and all this other stuff, but... Fortunately, it was the week before, so I didn't have to make all those bad jokes.
He led all receivers for 92 yards. The next closest was Johnny Knox.
Johnny Knox! Yes.
6 catches for 86 yards and a touchdown. Earl Bennett, 4 for 76. Greg Olson.
Actually, I believe that Hall was guarding Knox.
For the whole game, he was covering him.
So, for at least some of the time, it appeared to be going well until... Uh-oh.
Yeah. Greg Olson, 3 for 43. Matt Forte, 5 for 32. Devin Hester, 5 for 30. In this game, Skins had 13 first downs. The Bears had 19. Turnover is a big difference. 3 for the Skins, 6 for the Bears. Sacks, 4 for the Skins, 2 for the Bears. Cutler has been sacked 19 times in the last 3 games.
That's a lot.
Yes, it really is.
The yards are about the same. Time of possession was about the same. They're all both about 30. The yards were 308, 322. Third down conversion, 2 for 13 and then 2 for 10. So, that was pretty bad. But the D'Angelo Hall's interception is 3 in the second half. The 92-yard interception return for a touchdown, he jumped up in front of Knox one-handed and grabbed it and took off down the field.
That was absolutely athletic, retarded, uncontained, just craziness. Pick a word, whatever. It's great. It's great.
Right, his third interception came early in the fourth, and then his fourth interception came in the closing minutes on a deep pass to Johnny Knox, which he intercepted.
So yeah, the stat about Cutler going the past 3 weeks. With what was it, 20 sacks, you said?
19 sacks.
19 sacks? I said 20. What was I thinking?
nine against the Giants.
It wasn't that many.
9 against the Giants, 6 last week, and then 4 this week.
Right, so he's getting, the Giants were 3 weeks before this. Going into this week, he was looking at 19 then, yeah?
Maybe it was the last 4 weeks.
Okay, that's pretty bad.
I was looking, I'm like, 4, and this other team had 6. That's kind of high.
Yeah, and the other team we faced was Carolina. How are you getting sacked that bad? Come on. And then, the Chargers. That's the softest D-line in the league. That's right, I said it. Come on. And they're looking... Well, no, they have a bye next week, so he might get sacked only one time. And then they go to see Buffalo.
That wasn't scary. Fitzpatrick coming on.
I'm not trying to get your girlfriend mad at you, Weasel, but that's losable.
really, 2-5 is what their record should be.
Including that bad call in week one?
Yeah. It should be 2-5. And then how lucky they got against Cowboys, too. So.
Well, I'll even give them the Cowboys because the way they're
3-4 then.
But they got handed that game by the Packers. Come on, dude. It's ridiculous. So, anyways, enough about how
they are still tied to lead though for the NFC North.
So, talking about teams that suck in the NFC North, we have the Packers facing off against the Vikings. Weasel, go.
The Packers at home defeated the Vikings 28-24. For the Vikings, Brett Favre was 16 of 29, 55%, 212 yards. One touchdown back to being his old self, 3 INTs. Terrible INTs.
Terrible.
And a broken ankle.
Yeah. Most costly was his mid-third quarter one, where linebacker Desmond Bishop returned at 32 yards for the touchdown. He was sacked once. For the Vikings, Percy Harvin leading the way in the air. 5 catches for 65 yards. Adrian Peterson had 2 for 41. Bernard Berrien had a 30-yard reception. Randy Moss had 3 catches for 30 yards and a touchdown. Tight end Bashante Shanko had 3 for 30. And in the mid-second quarter, Shanko did have a touchdown reversed when he caught a 17-yarder and maintained control, but the refs overturned it because it touched the ground.
Yeah, the before you go to the running game, the very interesting thing you said there was very powerful. Sacked only once. And that one time was all it took to hurt his ankle and screw the Vikings over. We'll talk more on that later.
In the running game, Adrian Peterson had 28 rushes for 131 yards, 4.7 average with a touchdown. Percy Harvin had 3 for 41, 13.7 average with a touchdown. Toby Gerhardt had 5 for 24 with 4.8 average. For special teams, Ryan Longwell was 1 of 1, and Percy Harvin did return a kickoff 48 yards, which led to his touchdown one later.
Points for Weasel?
Yeah, actually.
All right.
For the Packers, Aaron Rodgers was 21 of 34, 61%, 295 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 INTs. Last year, Rodgers was sacked 14 times by the Vikings in 2 games. This game, not sacked.
Which comes to Jared Allen has not had a sack in the last 4 games.
He does have an interception.
Right, but not a sack in the last 4 games.
I think I know why.
Tell us, wise one.
I think he cut his mullet. So he lost that power.
The Samson effect. Don, don, don. I think another less biblical factor is in that the game you referred to last year, the Monday night game where they played each other the first time, and Jared Allen had 4 sacks. The O-line of the Packers was also decimated with injury. In this game, they had Chad Clifton starting from start to finish. Did a pretty good job. But this season in general, as Chris pointed out, is absolutely correct. He's done virtually nothing.
He did have an interception, though.
He did have that interception, and I give him credit for the interception he forced Romo to throw 2 weeks ago. That was all him.
Someone blocked him also.
Maybe, but he still gets credit for it.
Yeah.
You were saying, carry on.
With 7:13 left in the second quarter, the Packers went from a field goal formation to a shotgun one where backup Matt Flynn, and he threw to backup tight end Andrew Corliss, and he missed him on a deep pass, so would have been an interesting play, but in the receiving game, James Jones had 4 catches for 107 yards, Greg Jennings had 6 for 74, Brandon Jackson had 3 for 46, tight end Donald Lee had 2 for 27, Jordy Nelson had 4 for 25. Rookie tight end Andrew Corliss had 2 for 16 and a touchdown. And it was Greg Jennings with the touchdown also. In the running game, Brandon Jackson had 13 rushes for 58 yards, 4.5 average with a touchdown. Fullback John Kuhn had 7 for 12, 1.7 average. And Aaron Rodgers had 3 scrambles for 14 yards. The Vikings got the ball down 28-24 with 6:07 left in the game. The Vikings drove down the field to the Green Bay 15-yard line. But consecutive plagues on a false start and a face mask penalty brought them back to second and 30 at the 35-yard line. Harvin caught a pass in the end zone that was initially ruled a touchdown, but it was reversed after it was shown that he had 1 foot out.
And that was actually a correct call.
It was a correct call.
A correct call, wow.
Yeah.
More on that later.
Next 2 passes were deep to Randy Moss. Failed. Packers win. Now, Favre did have an ankle injury on that sack, and he may miss his 290th consecutive game from that.
He'll start on their crutches.
He'll start the first snap and say, consecutive.
And off the ball. Yeah. Take a knee.
Exactly.
Something. And, you know, and this is a good little segue here. I don't know if you saw the play that led to the interception of Benson, right? That he took back for, or Bishop, sorry, not Bishop.
Bishop, yeah.
Bishop took back for the score. It was shortly after that sack where he hurt his ankle, broke it in 2 places, I believe, something like that. But what I saw is him trying to force feed a ball to Moss. And if you're going to try to force feed a receiver, I can see why you would force feed it to Moss. That makes sense. But when he stepped off to throw that ball, it looked to me like he was going to leave Moss down the field in a ball that ended up being ridiculously short. The reason why I touch on this is in that play, he was forced to dance around and move a little bit on said bad ankle, threw the ball into that gunslinger situation that he always does, and on the fact that he was on a weakened ankle, threw an interception back to the house.
Well, I think people were saying that they were looking, and Percy Harvin was wide open, so instead of throwing him, he did throw
him.
That's a good point.
That may be true. That's fine. He was a quarterback under pressure trying to dodge sacks. I'm not going to cite that. Although all the media talk about that, ooh, Brad Childress threw Brett Favre under their bus. Oh, I understand why he did it. And it's about time he did something courageous. However, my problem still is with Brad Childress. If he wants to be that courageous, don't do it on the press mic. Pull his old ass.
Yeah.
Okay? There is no excuse to have been on the field after that sack. The trainer didn't even look at him. Oh, I'm Brett Favre. I'm a hick and I'm proud. And I'm going to go back out there and play and cause my team to lose.
Yeah.
The Vikings with a balanced offense performing well out there that night. He gets hurt, tries to take care of everything himself anyway with his macho pride, and essentially costs him the game.
That's a good point.
Now, in the fair point being made, and I still would have said this anyway, I like to think, fair point being made, he had a chance to win the game Greg Lewis style with Percy Harvin and was 1 foot out of bounds away from doing so. And it's the kind of stuff that Favre gets away with his entire career that just makes me sick. But in this particular case, Childress, Favre needs to retire. Childress needs to be fired. That's going to be the new rhyme for Minnesota. There you go. Rant over. So this will wrap up the NFC portion of this week's episode of the Student Game.
Quiz.
Oh,
no,
he wants his
pop.
Does that mean you're that kid in the class who reminds the teacher of homework? No, I did have a pop quiz for you, and a lot of people asked this on the air, various outlets, ESPN and whatnot, and a lot of the raging pansies of the world would say, "Oh, because they're the defending champions, it's the Saints." And the question is, who is the best team in the NFC right now? Now, do you, either of you really believe it's the Saints?
No.
Okay, great. That's the kind of brain I want to see. Not, oh, well, they're the defending champions, so we have to pick them. No. Best team in the NFC. Chris, go.
Man. I don't want to, you know, the way they've been playing lately, I don't want to sound a homer, but the Giants right now.
You know what? Let me stop you right there.
The defense and their offense is off cooking right now. So.
Let me stop you right there. Here's why you don't sound like a homer right now. I think the same thing. Weasel, go.
I agree.
Yeah,
they got the running game, passing game. Nixon, Steve Smith are doing good. And defense, yeah, they get the pressure on. But yeah.
And I mean, watch us all saying this, and then tonight they'll lose to the Cowboys. That would be hilarious.
Yeah,
but.
I hope not.
Yeah, I do too, because I want to stay ahead of Weasel, because he picked the Cowboys this week. So.
Oh.
I mean, human error has, I mean, 7 sacks almost.
Yeah, human error is, yeah, I thought he had like 7 sacks, but he still doesn't have many sacks as far as those interceptions. So, yeah.
Or Drew Brees.
For that matter.
Cutler threw a lot of interceptions.
And Cutler as well. And Eli, if we really want to get technical. But anyways, enough about who throws interceptions. What you should do is intercept this podcast and listen to it. Subscribe to it via iTunes. Come over to the website, www.thestudentofthegame.com. Check us out. Follow us on Twitter, @SOTG. Or you can always email us at thesog@gmail.com. Stay tuned for the AFC version, and we'll see you there.